Deval Patrick, what a pleasure to talk to you.
The pleasure is mine, Alan. The only thing missing is I'm not in studio with you or in our beloved Berkshires.
Indeed, our beloved Berkshires. So there's a lot of talk about the Republicans having grabbed the narrative and Obama being unpopular. We hear it on the TV and on the radio. And I'm wondering what you think of how do we come to that?
Well, you know, there's a part of current political behavior and strategy, which is Republicans trying to psych Democrats out. And as much as I am proud to be a Democrat and believe that you don't have to hate Republicans to be a good Democrat, I am struck by how Democrats seem to be the first ones to believe the Republican talking points. I think the most important thing, particularly today, being election day, is that everybody get out and vote. I know who I'm voting for and who I'm supporting for governor and the other statewide offices here in Massachusetts. But frankly, no matter who you support, you owe it to the quality of the democracy and our own, shared stake in our political destiny to get out and make your voice heard through the vote.
Deval Patrick, you've worked very hard to help Martha Coakley. I'm fascinated by the whole thing because there was a convention and the convention didn't want her and they picked somebody else and she won the primary. But you've gone out and you've worked very hard to help her. Is that because it's your legacy that we're looking at, or is it your belief in her?
Well, it's my belief in her. I think as Democrats, we are unique or different from the other party in the sense that we see the human souls, the strivers and the strugglers behind the policy choices we're making. For me, the line items aren't just math problems. They're about people's aspirations and needs and anxieties. And while I don't think, and Democrats don't think, that government can or should solve every problem in everybody's life, Alan, we do believe that government has a role in helping people help themselves, and Martha Coakley believes that and has a life of a professional life that demonstrates her commitment to that, and that's a pretty that's in pretty stark contrast to the Republican nominee.
Now, the Republicans say they're for that too. You know, all of a sudden the narrative switched that they're for women and they're for, you know, all this stuff. So, can't we believe them?
Well, look, you got to look at what they, in this, here in Massachusetts, and what this particular nominee has said and done in the course of this campaign and his career compared to Martha Coakley. In Martha Coakley's case, when we talk about seeing the people behind the policies, you know, she's talking about early education for all children, a proven strategy to lift performance. She's talking about earned sick time and the importance of eliminating this absurd choice that the more vulnerable workers make between caring for a sick child or a sick parent and putting food on the table that day. And what's the Republican nominee talking about? The same old business of tax cuts for big companies that haven't asked for them, and I'm here to tell you they haven't asked for them, and that don't need them. So there really isn't any question about who actually sees the people. And of course, when you talk about the Republican nominee's interest in women, I think that his he hasn't been as strident as the National Republican Party on issues that are harmful to women. That is true. But it does tell you something when the Hobby Lobby decision comes out and he says that an employer's ability to decide whether a woman employee's health care is going to include reproductive health is no big deal, that he's still got something to learn.
There's been a lot of talk over the years of you're running for president. So let's
just
deal with that for a moment. You've said definitively that you won't run for vice president. And when I asked you about that, you said, I don't want to work for anybody else. I think you're having fun. But if Hillary came to you and said, listen, Deval, I've got to get you on the ticket. It's the only way we're going to win. What would you do?
Well, look, it's amazing that you and I are having a conversation like this on a radio station with this kind of public reach, because it's still humbles me to think that I am a kid from welfare on the south side of Chicago who's sitting as and serving as governor of Massachusetts today. So the whole idea of having a serious conversation like this is a little mind-blowing still. I have absolutely no plans to do anything after I finish this term in January other than to get a job somewhere in the private sector, I hope in Massachusetts, and to get reacquainted with my wife and family while they are still interested in being acquainted with me.
Well, you know, when you're going to sleep at night, you know, it never just passes through your mind for a minute that, my God, you know, south side of Chicago, I could be the president. If it broke right, I could be the president.
It's a great country, isn't it, Alan? It's a remarkable country. And there are an awful lot of people who keep encouraging me to think about that and think about it seriously. But that's a huge decision. It's a demanding and even cruel process of becoming president or vice president, and and even more so if you should be honored to get the job. So it's no small decision. I don't mean to suggest I'm taking it lightly. I just want to tell you honestly, it's not top of mind for me.
Okay, fair is fair. I'll leave you alone on that one for now. But I want to ask you another one. I don't know how to phrase this because it's touchy. But Barack Obama runs for president of the United States, and there is a massive turnout of people of color. And because I think for a moment, everybody believes that this system can be inclusive and it can work for me. Can the Democrats ever win another election if they don't have somebody who will draw that segment of our society?
I don't think that the answer is probably no, but I don't think that that is about the race or ethnic background of the candidate as much as it is the quality of the argument that's made. I mean, I know that folks are looking for all kinds of ways to oversimplify the president's electoral success, but I think it was more than anything an appeal to people's aspirations, that we could begin to believe again that our government was capable of doing big things. Again, not solving every problem in everybody's life, but actually doing big things. Healthcare reform for everybody in the country, that's a big thing. And we've been talking about it, and presidents have tried to do it for a century. This president delivered it. And we can quarrel and quibble about whether this was the perfect vehicle, whether there aren't, whether they ought to have sold it harder or better than they did, whether it should be refined much the way, frankly, that we have here in Massachusetts, passed the first bill and then refined it as we went along and learned more things. That's natural, but there's no doubting the fact that this president has shown us that we can do big things and that there is a small part of the, but vocal part of the Republican Party, the hard right, the Tea Party, that is absolutely determined as a matter of vision to prevent any government from ever doing anything big because they philosophically think that's wrong.
I only have 2 minutes because your people have been very strict with us. It's like 10 minutes and no more.
I'll try to be shorter in my answer.
Not at all. So I didn't mean to criticize you. No, I thought your answer was eloquent. No, but my next question is this, and I know it's personal, and I have to admit this to you. I'm in love with your wife.
Me too.
And therefore, how much do you listen to her on things of substance?
Oh, you know, she's a very, very smart and very wise and thoughtful person. And she's been particularly involved from a policy perspective in issues around early childhood education and domestic violence, both of which issues, and also mental health issues, all three of which issues are things she has some personal experience and expertise in. So she's been great on those issues. You know, on the other stuff, and she reads a couple papers every day, and frankly is a lot more current on what the political chatter is than I am. So she's a great asset in that way too.
Well, Deval Patrick, you know of my admiration for you.
Thank you, Alan.
And we are so pleased that you've taken a little time with us today to talk to us on this important day. And I know you feel strongly that everybody should get out and vote.
Get out and vote. We get the government we deserve. We deserve great government. And smart and effective government. And, you know, I'm enthusiastic about Martha Coakley as the next governor of Massachusetts, but whomever you support, get out and vote for them.